Yes, hello and welcome to The Siren, also known as Air Raid, also known as The Air Raid.
Oh, we get to talk footy here.
It's the breakaway pod of tradies, all brought to you by the great people of Callaway. And Mitch, what it is we've had some feedback over the summer that while people love tradies, they would occasionally like it if you and I just talked footy. So on the field, footy issues, stuff
the demand
that doesn't
is
involve
growing.
Trade. Well, you know, hopefully.
Okay.
And so we thought we'd listen to that feedback. And also, you know, the fact that both of us are, you know, degeneratively insecure and we like the sound of our own voice. Sorry, I'll speak for myself there. I'm insecure and like the sound of my own voice.
Yeah.
That's why people keep seeing me around town driving Italian sports cars and Harley Davidsons because I'm insecure. So, Mitch, let's just keep this short and sharp.
Yep.
Neither of us know what we're going to talk about each week. Let's keep it like that. Would you like to start?
I would.
Okay. So, and I'm going to keep a timer. No more than 10 minutes each.
On each topic?
Yeah, we might actually blow a siren.
Okay.
I've just thought about that on the spot. This is our breakaway, the breakaway bodies.
This is the sort of pre-production that goes into the air raid siren. We're more energy, you know, more energy goes into the main pod, but this is a bit faster and looser. All right, Tassie. Monday, we get the team announcement. Logo, nickname, jumper, colours for the team that's going to come into the AFL in 2028. The election is in a week's time. Right now, the stadium is well and truly up in the air. The Liberal government is currently in power. They signed off on this $715 million deal with a large portion of that from the feds. Now, we're going to the election in a week's time. If Labor come in, they want to renegotiate the deal with the AFL.
That's what Rebecca White, opposition leader, has said on radio, on the record.
At the AFL AGM last week with all the presidents, CEOs and league commission, that was quickly knocked on the head. No chance. We've signed off on this deal. The AFL is going to put in over $350 million into funding into Tassie and grassroots footy over the next 10 years and the growth of the team. They need a roofed 23,000-seat stadium. So if Labor come in, any chance of the renegotiation right now as it sits from the AFL is no go. But this weekend right now marks 4 years to the day where this Tasmania team is meant to come into the AFL. The odds of this stadium being ready in 5 years' time. So don't forget, as part of the negotiation, you can only have 1 year of this team being in the AFL before they have to enter and play at this new stadium at Mac Point.
And ideally, they start there.
Yep. The odds of that are very slim.
That's not going to happen. Like, just might as well take that off the table.
Well, this planning process that's going on right now, separate to the election, is going to take 6, 12, 18 months.
They're like, this is just such a farce.
So the reason
they've got a planning process. They don't even know where the stadium's going to be.
They know where the stadium's going to be, but there's still two different options being canvassed. They haven't even cleared the area where it's going to be. They may even need to fill in part of the water to
Mitch,
build on.
Their first plan had it being built partly over water.
Yeah.
And the engineers didn't realise that they'd actually have to dig down into the water for it to be structurally sound.
That's correct.
Things going well down south. Things going really well.
So the reason I brought this to the siren, or the air raid siren, is that
I still don't know what the pod's called.
The odds of this team coming in and playing in its stadium inside the first 12 months are very slim right now. And stakeholders are telling me that this could see the team not coming in 2028 and actually push back, which is every chance in the next couple of months, years, before we actually get this team off the ground.
So can I ask you, can I take it one step further? What about it just not happening? Like, what if this election throws another spanner, Rebecca White wins, they go back to the AFL, hey, you know that deal, we don't really want to spend $600 million of our own cash, we sort of want to build hospitals instead. The AFL goes bad luck, and then the whole thing falls apart.
There's always a chance, but I think we've gone too far down the path now for Tassie just to rip up this provisional licence they've been given.
I don't quite, other than there's the money could be spent elsewhere, I don't quite understand the government's perspective of, we shouldn't pay for it. What do you mean you shouldn't pay for
it? Down there?
Yeah.
Well, the Liberal government currently in power, they signed off on this deal, but the Labor view, the opposition currently, is that Belrive or another venue would suffice.
But remember that not to get too political here, but is the siren, that the Liberal government was thrown into turmoil that has only caused an election to be called 12 months early because
two of their MPs left. And became independents.
And became independents because of the concerns around. So, like, I'm not sure that everything is stable in Jeremy Rockliffe's government. And I think Andrew Dillon, and to some extent, Gillon McLachlan, who's enjoying retirement, whatever it looks like, is probably sitting there going, what are you guys doing? Like, we arranged all of this. It was done. It was sold.
The only thing Brennan Gale is now, as we know, Curry reported this other week, is locked in to become the next chief, or the first chief executive of the Tassie team.
Which is an amazing coup.
And he gets shit done.
He just gets shit done.
So the odds for me right now of this team falling over are slim. But for me, the odds of this team coming in as planned in 2028...
That's an interesting point. So what does that look like? Because are you then concerned that it starts something like the Gold Coast did, where they were infamously training out of portables?
Yeah, well, and separate to the stadium, they've actually got their
high-performance center.
Home base. That's more advanced. Obviously, they need to come in before they bring the stadium in. But my concern is that we're not going to see this team play in their stadium in the first 12 months or longer, and that could force the team to get pushed back into 2029, 2030, and then anyone's guess if it goes longer than that.
Yeah. And then I guess, so people would say, in argument to you, they would say, okay, well, what's the big deal? They play at Bellerive for a year. Harm done.
And Launceston's the other key option.
It's a disastrous result because it's round 11. It's the middle of winter. They're playing a Friday night game against Collingwood. 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 Collingwood supporters have gone down to watch them play. It's 4 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like -3. The Tassie team are getting beaten by 80 points at halftime. Like,
the whole point of this is big Friday night games, early in their career, the Tassie Devils, as we will find on Monday, they'll be named. People go to City, go to the City for dinner.
Or the dinner for City. Yeah. Sure.
On a Friday night, they walk down to the stadium. It's like Adelaide Oval. Bellerive is 10, 15 minutes away by car.
Did you just compare the Adelaide Oval proximity to the city to Bellerive? You have to cross the bridge.
No. I'm saying this: the Mac Point, the new stadium they want to build.
Ah, sorry.
That's the whole idea, to
I apologise. Yeah, and it is that close.
And walk down.
Yeah, you go for...
Go to Salamanca.
Go for fish and chips at Muir's. Walk out the front door after a couple of carton drafts and walk down to Macquarie Point. It would be awesome. If you haven't been down there and you haven't got a sense of it, like, look it up. It's a cool little precinct. Battery Point, Salamanca...
And that's why this team can't go for any more than 12 months playing in a secondary venue.
Okay.
That's my air raid siren.
6 minutes.
One. Yeah, nice. I think I've got the point across.
Okay. I want to talk about Clarko. So given a $20,000 fine and a 2-week wholly suspended sentence for calling Jimmy Webster, I don't even know if we need to say what he called him. Everyone knows. Homophobic slur. That Alistair clearly didn't mean to be a homophobic slur. And I really think we don't take this stuff seriously enough. And I really think we need to remember that words have an impact. I think to give a suspended sentence to a guy with Clarko's rap sheet is an embarrassment, to be frank.
Okay.
And I think the fine doesn't really matter. And I'll tell you why the fine doesn't really matter. One is that 10 years ago, Brad Scott got a $30,000 fine for saying that umpires didn't give Lindsay Thomas free kicks because they thought he was faking it.
Holy serve? None of that was suspended?
I think he had to pay the 30 grand.
Yeah.
Actually, funny story. I actually asked that question. So I felt really guilty and felt like I should have...
Did you chip in? Did you ring Brad?
I was struggling for coin back in the day. No, which I still, now it makes it sound like I'm not struggling for coin. That's by the by. So, and the second point to the fine not mattering is they very rarely actually get paid.
So you think we need an audit on these fines?
I would love anyone at the AFL or North Melbourne at the end of the year to show me an invoice outside of the TPP, which is a $20,000 payment going to the AFL. I would love to see that because I know of at least 3 major fines in the last 10 years that never got paid.
Can you name one?
No, I'm not, because I'd be giving up sources. But they're for optics more than anything.
Just for me on the fine, average wage for our listeners, let's say $100,000. Let's just put it in the ballpark.
Yep.
Clarko earns 10 times more than that. $20,000 is not a major wedge out of a deal.
Oh, I did the maths when it came out. If he's earning $1.5 million, I think it's something like it's 1.3% of...
Yeah.
So for the average Australian, which I think the average wage is something around 75 grand a year,
yep.
if you take the percentage of that, it's $800, which is basically the fine you get for being caught on your phone in your car.
Similar. So it needs to be more. That's what I'm thinking. I personally don't think Alistair Clarkson should have missed a game of footy for this.
Okay. I think he should have, and let me mount the case as to why. The chances of one person on the field in earshot, of one person in the crowd, remembering it was a practice game, in earshot, or one person in staff on the bench in earshot, being gay is almost certain, whether they're out publicly or not. That's what statistics would say.
Yep.
That language, it actually dehumanizes people. Taylor Walker found this out when he called someone a black four-letter word at an SANFL game from an opposition within earshot. There were several Indigenous players within earshot.
Mm-hmm.
It has an impact. He got 6 weeks. He had to pay a $20,000 fine to Indigenous communities. He then had to apologise on national television, on Channel 7 in Adelaide. Taylor Walker got a fair rap. His coach did a press conference the next day where he was crying in embarrassment. He had to pay a pretty big penance for what he said. Words matter. And you know the thing that really shits me more than anything involved in this, the thing that really gets to me, the thing that really, as Peter Griffin would say, grinds my gears, is that the people that go, "Oh, mate, he didn't mean it like that. Don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. Let's all move on." They're the same people that ring up my radio show and say that a player getting filmed doing a line of drugs in a bathroom should be banned for life from the game.
Yeah, it's not.
We consistently prioritise in this society of ours the wrong things. The people that are hurting themselves, doing things like what Jack Ginnivan did, but you broke that story down in where they were in Lawn.
Yep.
The people who think that is a worse offence than dehumanising other people by using language.
Yeah, when you put it like that.
We've just got it backwards, Mitch. We've got it completely backwards. And is a $20,000 fine and the fear of if you do it again, you get two matches, is that going to actually change someone's behaviour? Please. Please. It's just not. Like, it's just not.
And he's got a fair rap sheet in this, not in the homophobic space, but in terms of, you know, on-field fire-ups.
Now, I'm not saying the AFL aren't in a precarious position here. Like, I get it. It's easy for me to sit here and just go, click your finger, give him a one-game ban. You will struggle to make two more intelligent people in football than Andrew Dillon and Laura Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Both from different generations. Andrew's a fair bit older. Both think about the game and see the game amazingly, and both very eloquent in the way they speak. But we either look like we care about these things or we actually care about them. That's my rant over.
No, oh, that's fair.
That's also 6 minutes. We both took 6 minutes.
The comparison to Jack Ginnivan probably opened my eyes up more. He missed two games of footy after that. Bailey Smith, two games, you know, similar.
Sorry, can I just put that in perspective? Jack Ginnivan missed two games of football for being caught, for being filmed over a cubicle in the off season doing what we believe to be a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And Alistair Clarkson gets 0 games. Like, work that one out for me. Please.
Yeah.
Jack Ginnivan is a child. He's a teenager when it happened.
Yeah. And
Alistair Clarkson's a father.
He's had 25 years of education at his level. Personally,
and I'm
the $20,000 fine should have been double, if not more.
Yeah, I think I get fired up about these things because I'm sort of, it's not that I'm not allowed to on my radio show, but it's a little bit harder, and particularly with the 3NW audience as well. You know, you have to be a little bit more give and take. And you know, when I explain this to people who are older, I often get kickback from it, and I'm not saying Clarko's homophobic. I wouldn't presume to know that. I don't know what his views are.
Mm.
But it's the words that matter. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. I do it more than most. But if you're putting someone, if you're using language that puts someone down based on their age, their race, their sexual preference, you should be given a penalty, which the next time you think about doing it, you think.
Yep.
I love how we've started a podcast to talk about footy.
And we've gone deep.
We've gone off field.
Yep. I like it. Plenty more of that, I reckon, throughout the season.
Mm.
I feel it gets people talking. And you talk about your radio show and the talkback. Our voice memos since our first show landed on Wednesday morning are airborne. So keep them coming.
Really? Do they go directly to you, most of them?
A lot of them do. It's hard to find you on social.
I might actually start a burner phone and just say that you and give them that number.
Yeah.
Just leave it in the drawer for 6 days of the week and then get to them on the seventh day. Go through them all.
Palm off to Scotty. No, good solid start for the Air Raid Siren.
That was the Air Raid Siren. We'll see you on Tradies next week. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share it with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com.